Hello, Pastor Deborah here, and this is Agape Love. Love is here. This is one of the many video sections of the ministry of Pastor Deborah, helping people the Lord's way. Please enjoy the video, and we look forward to you coming again. Pastor Deborah hopes you enjoy hearing about how she has learned how to help people the Lord's way, and of her many wonderful spiritual experiences throughout many, many years of helping people. Welcome again to a video of Agape Love, Love is Here Ministries. This is Pastor Deb. Love always and forever. Hello again. Pastor Deborah here. And this is another episode, another part of the Kingdom of Darkness, Spiritual Babylon. I want to welcome all of you from wherever you came. You might be coming from your dreams. You might be coming when you are in the mosque and in prayer time. You might be coming when you're out of your body due to trauma or abuse. You might be coming when you're just thinking, meditating, standing with your friends. You might be also waiting to come. Yes, we're in the garden. Yes, everyone is welcome. Even the worst of the worst, the most evilest people. Yes, even those who have chopped off people's heads. Yes, even the human traffickers themselves. And those who abuse their own children and animals. Yes, and even those who don't believe. These words are for everybody. For all of humanity needs to hear these words and be in this presence so they can believe. Oh, there'll be many of you here today who are listening and watching that don't quite yet believe in all of this that I'm going to talk to you about. But all of you move in the spirit. You've left your bodies. You have dreams. Some of you just imagine a better life, and you imagine and hope that somebody would love you and treat you with dignity and honor and respect and would value you. And something inside of you is drawing you to Pastor Deborah. I'm not the one to give you that, but I bring you his words and his spirit, and I bring you him. For he is traveling with me. We're partners. And I want to welcome you to this teaching. For we are in the spirit realm, and we are in the garden called Eden. And yes, everybody have a seat. Yes, those are animals sitting next to you. Yes, they're smiling at you and talking to you. They love you dearly. What? What is that that's standing so tall behind you? That is called a angel of the host of heaven. They are there to stand guard and protect you. Will they follow you outside a garden? Yes. They are there in that realm that you cannot see. Even on planet Earth, there is rather two kingdoms. There is only the spirit realm that surrounds the earth. And then there's the earth, the dirt, the flesh. In that unseen realm, there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness, the one that rules by ignorance and fear of death and sin and lust, corruption. And it's run by its king, who is an adversary of the other kingdom. That's be Satan. And the other kingdom is called the kingdom of heaven. It is ruled by love, joy, and peace, and by the king and the author and the finisher of that love, joy, and peace. And that be the King of the Kingdom of Heaven, God the Most High, and His Son, His very words that He sent to us in the form of humanity Himself, named Jesus the Christ. And from that kingdom is the governor, called the Holy Spirit. He is here to help us, to lead us and guide us and teach us to the Word, to Jesus. Yes, that's the Jesus that went to a cross. Yes, it is.
Because he had to become one of us to pay the price for all of us. Did he really rise from the grave? Yes, he did. Because after the penalty was paid, and he went and got the keys back from Satan of hell, death, and the grave. And I even asked God last night about that. How did Satan get the keys to hell, death, and the grave anyway? And what I discovered is they were given to this archangel named Lucifer, who had big wings. His job was to cover and protect the very glory and essence and presence of this holy God from any sinful thing. So he had these keys, these authority and dominion to hell, to death, and to the grave. Now, at the time he was given it, did he really know what it meant? Don't know. He was a very wise one. But when he was cast out for his traitor, being a traitor and his treason, and thinking in his mind and heart that he wanted to take over the kingdom and be sitting there as the king, the Most High, he took with him these keys of hell, death, and the grave. Then when Jesus, who paid the price that this death required, which was death, and he went into hell, but he was an innocent spirit that just took on. He did not sin himself, but he took them on that got him, they were like a cloak of deception that got him into hell. So that this person, this spirit being, could be punished. And at the right time, the sin was gone. There was the pure, clean, righteous spirit called Christ. And he said, Lucifer, Satan, I've come to get the keys back, the authority back that I gave you, that you were given over hell, over death, and the grave when you were created. And I'm taking them back. And I legally have the right to do that because I have conquered that. Now, I'm taking that authority back from you. And it's back in my hands now. You don't have that authority and dominion over hell, which is a place of torment and punishment. And I take back the keys to death, that spiritual separation from God. And the grave, that's where there is no more immortal life for this body that had become mortal. I take that back. So there was a lot going on. And why did he do all this? Because he loved his Father. And this was the solution to a problem. And love was going to be the answer. The love of the Father. And the love of the Father for humanity. And the love of the Father for his Son. And the love of the Holy Spirit for everybody. Love was the binding tie, the reason for all that these three in one did was because of love. They loved each other and they loved humanity. That they mounted an attack, they provided the way when there was no way. But they did this long before they even created the creature called Lucifer and all of the spirit realm. So the keys to hell, death, and the grave were given to Satan, who was originally Lucifer. He was to guard and protect these places. Because I was talking to God last night about why did he create hell? Was hell created before Lucifer was created? Was it created after Lucifer was created? Did Lucifer and all of heaven know about hell? Did they know about the grave? Did they know about death? Or was it sort of all waiting in obscurity from Lucifer? So that when he got cast out, poof, the knowledge of this all came. These were deep questions I was asking him. I wanted to know the answers. Why would this Christ Jesus need to take back the keys, which means the authority and the ownership of that authority of hell, death, and the grave back from Lucifer. Surely Lucifer didn't steal it when he fell from heaven. Or did Lucifer have the right to it? Because hell, death, and the grave were created to be under the dominion of sin, under the dominion of being a traitor, under the dominion of what Satan had become. Was that how it was created? These are deep questions I was in prayer last night about, to try to find out the answers. Because sometimes you have things that occur that we read about. How one kingdom didn't look like he was attacking from the cross, but he mounted a defense, went against what the rule of hell, death, and the grave. And it says in the word that he went and he took back these keys of hell, death, and the grave. Then he gave, when he left, when Christ Jesus says, I'm going back to my Father, but I give you, Pastor Deborah, and all those that believe in me, these keys, this authority to hell, death, and the grave. Now use them appropriately. So I'm saying, this is interesting. This was a question I had no answers for at the time. But I believe how it worked was Satan, who was Lucifer, was given this authority and dominion over this. I do not know at this time if Lucifer knew that hell was created or that there would be death of separation. But I do believe he knew, because it says in the word in I believe Ezekiel, that he was full of wisdom and he had free will. And he knew, I believe he knew, about this place called hell. And that there were even some angels who were created to be down there as tormentors. Now they had nothing to torment. It was maybe just burning. It was a place that was in a far distant land. But Lucifer's job was to protect, keep anything that was sinful or wicked. His job as a covering cherubim was to protect the glory, the presence of God. So he probably was given the authority over this place and over death, which was spiritual separation, and the grave. Now, he got perverted, we understand, when he started looking at himself and he started seeing this bright, brilliant light coming out. And he attributed that was him. He had the light, the glory, blinded him. And he decided that because he was so beautiful, he didn't want to be in a servant's role, but he wanted to be the master. The king that served no one and sat on the high throne. And God heard those thoughts and said, I don't think so. So down he went. And I think at that point he carried with him the keys, the authority to hell, death, and the grave. Because God was going to continue to use him in his eternal purpose until hell, death, and the grave was taken care of for all eternity, and hell would be closed up, death would be defeated by life, and the grave would have no rights and authority for the physical body because it had all been changed. But until then, I believe that Lucifer, who became Satan, contained and still held the authority, the keys. And when this Christ Jesus went down into hell after the cross and completed his assignment, he had the legal right. He had won that battle. He walked up to this defeated cherubim who had become Satan, the adversary of God. And he took back from him what was given him, the keys, the authority, the dominion over hell, death, and the grave. He said, I got him now. You lost. You cannot have that authority. And he took him back. So a lot more was going on during this time than we even realized. Now, I operate with those keys of dominion. I've had to pray people back to life. I've had to go into hell. And I will read to you one of my wonderful stories called 72 Virgins and show you how that works, just to show you how that works. And I'll read that to you here in just a few minutes as a part six before we keep going into the kingdom of darkness. But I want to give you a little bit of hope about how some of this works. But first, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for bringing all of these people here today to hear your words of love, joy, and peace that you have offered us through your Son, Christ Jesus, your Word that became flesh like we are, your own offspring, your own self came in this form. So we could relate to you, we could talk with you, we could hear you, and most of all, believe in you again. Open our eyes and our ears now to your words. Teach us a deep meaning about the kingdom of darkness and its defeat before we go any farther. Father, let them hear the truth from 72 virgins. I wanted to tell you this story so you can understand the power of the kingdom of darkness and its king that it once had, and how powerful they were, but not anymore. So just listen. I'm going to read, try to talk to you. It's called 72 Virgins. This story begins in ancient days of Israel. A father and his son, Joseph. Genesis 37, 3 through 10. Going to be a lot of history here. The Authorized King James Version. Verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Verse 4. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him. Right there it talks to us that this Lucifer, who is the king of the kingdom of darkness, saw this love this father had, this king, for humanity, for this creature named man. And he hated him. And he could not speak peaceably unto him. Some people say that when Lucifer saw this creation, he would not bow down to this creature. He would not serve him, because he was not like Lucifer. He was not a mighty cherubim. He had no powers. He was a baby. But yet this Lucifer was to serve him on earth, bow down to him and worship him. And he hated him because the father loved him. Verse 5, please know that Lucifer never served and never considered God his father. He was always just a servant to this God. It was a different relationship than one as a father. Verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him yet the more. Verse 6, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Verse 7, for behold, we are binding sheaves, that would be of corn or wheat, in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose, stood up, and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood all round about, and made obedience to my sheaf. Boy, that was a strange dream. Sheaf standing up, some bowing down. Nobody understood this dream, and a lot of dreams you won't. Verse 8. And his brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" That's the same thoughts that Lucifer was having. Because he was going to have to bow down to this sheath, to this creation of the Father called man. "And behold, your sheaves, they stood around me." And he goes, "Yes." And his brothers said, "Are you going to reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" These are Lucifer's thoughts. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Lucifer was told, "You will bow down and serve this creature called man. They are my children. They are the kings of this kingdom. You are their servant, Lucifer." He didn't like that. Verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream again. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obedience to me." Can you imagine Lucifer hearing this out of the mouth of God? He's probably having dreams of this creature called man going to have power over the moon and the stars, and they're going to make obedience to him. Lucifer's heart had already been lifted up in pride. He was not going to bow to this thing. Not at all. Verse 10, and he told it to his father and to his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers come to bow down ourselves to you, to the earth?" Many people are asking that about other people. "I'm going to bow down to you and serve you." These are all deep questions. Genesis 45, 4 through 5, and 7 through 9. Verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brothers, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." The story goes, they were so jealous, envious, hated him, that they captured him. They sold him into Egypt. He got into prison. He grew up there away from his family. Now Joseph is also, he is trying to tell us a story about humanity, Christ Jesus, and the whole story is played out here in this one story. And he's telling them, "You sold me into Egypt." Verse 5, "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves." They hear Jesus Christ saying, "You sold me. You gave me up to Pontius Pilate. You crucified me. But don't be grieved. Don't be angry with yourselves that you sold me here. For God did send me before you to preserve life." Deep meanings here. Even way back then. Did Satan know that? No. Many things, even though he had full knowledge of, we'll say, the law of the kingdom, he may not have known the spirit of the law. Because many things were decided before even one particle of the spirit realm was created. And God, who's a good secret keeper, kept everything inside. until the fullness of time would come. Because he ain't going to tell everybody, especially not his servants, what's on his mind. Because we learn from Jesus later, if you are a servant, the master don't tell you what he's doing, don't tell you everything. He just tells you go and do that. He doesn't tell you why. He doesn't discuss things with you. He doesn't take counsel with you as a servant. He says, just go. But if you are in a relationship as a son, one of his seed, his offspring, his children, when you're a child, he may not just tell you to go. But as you grow and you enter into that deepness of that relationship, he starts teaching you why he told you to do this, what the purpose of this is, who you are, why I want you to go do this, what the ultimate goal is for you to do this and be obedient. You start learning the whys. You start hearing about the end, the fullness of time. But this Lucifer was just a servant. He didn't get that. And he didn't like it at all. So we're learning from this story. Now this relates to hell, death, and the grave. That God sent humanity. God sent his word before to preserve us. So Christ Jesus were saying, yeah, you treated me bad. You turned me into Pilate. You hated me. You were jealous of me because I said you would bow down to me. Now, at the same time, Lucifer, who's the king of darkness, knew this Christ Jesus because he had been there on the throne in heaven. He knew that Christ Jesus was the Son of Man and the Son of God. And when the Son of Man came out of Christ Jesus, Lucifer and all the angels were said, you will bow. You will do obedience to this creature called the Son of Man on earth. And Lucifer goes, not going to do it. Just like these guys. Now God's telling us multiple stories here about the early beginnings. But Joseph is telling his brothers, God sent me before you. Listen, you'll hear Christ saying, to preserve you and to keep you on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Listen, okay? Did Lucifer notice? No. But yes. Remember, he's just a servant. He doesn't have foresight to the future. As he's becoming this Satan, things in his wisdom, his knowledge is getting broken up. It's perverted. It's tangled. A lot of his memories are lost. They're distorted. All he knows now is he hates this God. He hates everything connected to it. And he hates all the angels. And he hates this Christ, the Son of God. And he hates the king. He loves the kingdom. Because he loves having territory. And as we would learn in the Lord of the Rings, O Sauron, he desires to be the master who serves no one. That is the level of pride that grew and developed in Lucifer. That was starting to form his own kingdom of darkness within himself, in his mind. And his beautiful body, we'll read about later, that was diamonds and pearls and sapphire, started becoming dark and darker, coated in ick and darkness. The light that was God got smaller, 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 and smaller, and smaller. And eventually, because God quit speaking through him, he was still going to use him. So now verse 8. So now it was not meant, this is Joseph, after his great salvation, which is another story about how you learn how to be a leader when you are in strange territory. And he goes on and says, verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me here, but God. Christ Jesus says to us, you didn't send me to the cross. God did. You didn't kill me. I am the Lamb of God to be sacrificed. He did this. I'm going willingly. He sent me to do this. And he's made me a father to Pharaoh. Relationships started changing on earth. And Lord of all of his house. And a ruler throughout all the land of Jesus. Great things were happening down here on earth. This was all prophetic. But it was played out in history. A lot of archaeologists have tried to go and prove that there was a Joseph in Egypt, looking for his name on the hieroglyphics. And they believe they found it. But when you read these in the Old Testament, this was written to us by Moses. God is revealing things to come, things that happened in the past, all at the same time, if you look. Verse 9, hasten you and go to my father and say unto him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, for God sent him, angels released him. He goes down into hell, and the angels go back to the Father and say, Your Majesty, God has made me Lord of all. I've got the keys to hell, death, and the grave. Come down. It's okay now. We're all set. What you sent me to do has been done. We're good to go now. So the dream of Joseph of youth came true. Yet at the time of the dreams, Joseph had no idea what they meant. Lucifer heard these dreams, didn't know what they meant. And that is where this story of great deliverance starts for so many who need to have their lives preserved. And for the words of the Heavenly Father himself to be fulfilled. From Matthew 18:14, verse 14. Even so, it is not the spiritual will, the desire and the purpose of your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, that's that unseen realm, that even one of these spiritual little ones, not one human, should not spiritually perish, which means be spiritually separated eternally from him through death, the spiritual separation, like Satan is going to be and his one-third of his demons from the Heavenly Father. The story begins many years ago in my spiritual youth with an open vision. Oh, Pastor Deborah has those. I can see, hear, I know things. I move in the spiritual gifts when they're needed. I don't activate them. I read what's in the Word and see it's possible. I pray that the Father will make my spirit ready for them, teachable to learn about, to believe in them. And when they're needed, that's the Holy Spirit's call. Because the Holy Spirit in me is to help my spirit accomplish the purposes of this Father. So the Holy Spirit knows what the Father needs done to spread the good news of the kingdom, the good news of the love of the Father, to draw people like he's drawn you today. So Pastor Deborah's spirit has to be a willing partner and a willing vessel to get the spiritual work and ministry done for him. And I had to study Christ Jesus a lot, and I had to see all the gifts in operation when he was a human in a dirt body and how they worked. You never heard how he activated them or studied them. He had the Holy Spirit. He prayed every morning, got his directions, and he was always ready. So Pastor Deborah wakes up, stays ready spiritually 24/7 to hear. Sometimes I don't get asked. It just comes on. And I'm ready to do spiritual ministry. So what was happening here? According to verse 14, even so, it's not the spiritual will of God to lose any human to spiritual death. So this open vision has always been with me. And it comes often and everywhere I go. It's always the same. It's one of light and dark. I was always walking on a lighted, narrow path. A very small, narrow path. And there was only darkness down below me. In the darkness, I always would see hands and arms reaching up. And always would I hear silent cries of their hearts and minds and souls of precious spiritual ones. And that they had been crying for so long. And here's what I would hear. I am here. I am real. I'm alive. Please find me. Please help me. I want out. Where were they? They were in hell in torment. They were in darkness and trapped. Please, someone help me. I'm down here. I am afraid. I'm alone. I'm lonely. I hurt and I'm in pain. Can't you see me? Can't you hear me? I'm here. I'm alive. These were the screams and the voices I was hearing. Please, please help me. I would cry every time this spiritual vision would come to me. And I would see and hear the spiritually least of Jesus's and my spiritual brethren as spoken about in the following scriptures, Matthew 9:37-38. Verse 37, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore to the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. There were people that needed to be reached. And God was saying, I have very few that will go for me into that darkness. Matthew 25:31-46 says, these are the red words of Christ Jesus himself. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. Well, who was this Son of Man? Pastor Deborah. But I'm in Christ. So when the Heavenly Father looks to his right and he sees Christ sitting there as the Son of Man on his right hand, he sees Pastor Deborah there. That's who the Son of Man always was to be, on the right hand of God. But that got all messed up. Because when we were but children, we fell. But our big brother, who never failed, Christ Jesus came to help us, to bring us home, back to the Father, back to the throne on the right hand of the Father. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, all the people. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. This is done by the shepherd making a sound. The sheep know, and they follow the sound. But the goats, they don't follow the sound. They have to be herded by dogs or a little stick because they're much more stubborn. They don't work by hearing the sound, the familiar sound. Verse 33, and he, the Son of Man, shall set the sheep on his right hand. The ones who have heard his voice and followed him, but the goats on his left. Those who did not hear his voice, or they did hear it, but did not follow it. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Now, who's this king? This is Christ Jesus saying, come, all right, come before me, before the throne. You're blessed of my Father. Spiritually inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is what Satan was trying to stop happening through his kingdom of darkness. He wanted the kingdom, not only in heaven, but the kingdom, the authority, the governing system on earth, inside of man, spirit, soul, and body, and around the whole earth, all the solar systems we see through the Hubble telescope, all of the temporal earthly world. God wanted his kingdom to be the governing management system. And he wanted his kings, his children, all of humanity, to be ruling and reigning there in that world, which we call it the natural world, with an unseen governing system, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of love, joy, and peace, so that all of that natural territory, the sun and the moon and the stars, would know who this God is, would hear his voice, his commandments through the spirit and out through the soul. Powerful place of dominion and authority when you receive this kingdom that was prepared before the foundation of the world. Excellent teaching. We'll get to that later. Verse 35. For I, the Son of Man, the King, this is Christ speaking, was spiritually hungry for the agape love of the Heavenly Father and his truth. And you gave me his spiritual meat. I was spiritually thirsty, and you gave me spiritual drink, the living water of the Word of God. I was a spiritual stranger to the house, to the family of the Heavenly Father. I was orphaned and abandoned, and you spiritually took me into the family of the Heavenly Father. You helped me to become born again, he says. Verse 36, spiritually naked and clothed with only animal skins and demons, clothes of shame and guilt, dishonor and defilement. And you spiritually clothed me, the least of my spiritual brethren. I was spiritually sick in my spiritual body, and my heart and mind, and in my soul. And you spiritually visited me. That's what Pastor Deborah does when she goes into the kingdom of darkness. I was in spiritual prison, and you came unto me in the spiritual prison. I have done prison and jail ministry, but God is not that much interested in what your physical body is. He's more interested in your spiritual condition and its soul, which can be not in a physical prison, but you are enslaved to corruption and lust, enslaved to the physical desires of the body, enslaved to ignorance and darkness and to a power that only Satan offers you through sacrifice. You will sacrifice your children, your family, to have that power. That's enslavement inside here. Verse 37, then shall the spiritually righteous answer this Son of Man, this King Jesus, saying, Lord, when did we see you spiritually hungry? And when did we feed you? Or spiritually thirsty and gave you spiritual water to drink? Boy, those are some good questions. Verse 38. When did we see you a spiritual stranger to the house and the family of the Heavenly Father? Weren't you always with him? That's what you said. Weren't you always there? And took you in through becoming born again to the family and the house of God. When did we do that? How? We don't understand what you're saying. Or spiritually naked, without the spiritual robe of spiritual righteousness. And we spiritually clothed you. Now we are confused, buddy. You've never been like us. When did we do this to you? Verse 39. Or when did we see you spiritually sick in your physical body? Or in your heart and mind? Or in a spiritual prison of darkness, of ignorance, and to the fear of death, and spiritually came unto you? We don't understand what you're saying. You're saying we came to you when you were in all these conditions. What'd we do? How'd we do that? You've never been like that, Christ Jesus. You've always been the good guy, the one that had everything. Verse 40, and the king, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, answered and said unto them, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it, these things I just said, unto one of the spiritually least of these, those who are spiritually hungry, thirsty, spiritual strangers to the house of the Heavenly Father, spiritually naked, because they are without the robe of righteousness, of spiritual salvation, through Christ Jesus, and who are spiritually sick in their spiritual body and mind, and in spiritual prison of darkness, which is ignorance, through the fear of death. These are my spiritual brethren, that you have done it, these things, unto me. Christ Jesus became one of us. He said, I am in all humanity. When you come spiritually into the kingdom of darkness, and you spiritually do these things to the Spirit, you're doing it to me. That is how I am so deeply related to humanity. Proverbs 14:31. He that spiritually oppresses the spiritually poor, those who the king just spoke about, okay, spiritually oppresses, you get that now, reproaches, causes discredit, dishonor, displeasure, and disgrace to the king. His spiritual maker, to his Father, his Creator and Savior and Lord. But he, that spiritual man who spiritually honors the Maker, the Lord, the Creator, the Heavenly Father, the King, has spiritual mercy, compassion, and love, and goodwill on the spiritually poor, those who are lacking what was just spoken about, and that they spiritually need. So he's starting to tell us, I relate to humanity as though I'm one of them. You are blessed of my Father because you have spiritually come into the spiritual realm, into the kingdom of darkness, and through the gifts of the Spirit, you have seen the spiritual condition of humanity. You don't look with your natural eyes. You don't listen with your natural ears. You don't understand with your natural biological brain, knowledge, and wisdom. You look with a different set of eyes, and you listen with different ears. This was that open vision Pastor Deborah was having. I was hearing and seeing with my spirit into the realm of the Spirit, into the realm of the kingdom of darkness, into hell itself. And it broke my heart. I was hearing what is not normally heard. I was seeing with eyes of the Spirit through Christ Jesus, through the gift of the Holy Spirit. I didn't activate it. I didn't get trained in it. I just read the word and believed that all the prophets saw in the Spirit, were taken in the Spirit. I prayed to be as them, that I could hear and see that realm that's hidden. And that was what was happening to me, to get me to believing so I could do ministry and help some young people. Back to Matthew 25. 31 through 46. Then shall he, the King, the Son of Man, shall say also unto them on his left hand, those who did not follow the sound, the voice of the King, the Word of God, the voice of the Heavenly Father, the goats, depart from me. Now, a lot of people hear the voice of God, but they don't know that it is Him. The ones He's talking about are those that do hear and don't follow. A lot of people at the same time don't hear because they can't. They're not connected yet. He also calls them, they're like the goats. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. I think that means the lake of fire, spiritually prepared for the devil, Satan, and his angels and demons. Now, because I read this, my priest heart has gone into prayer to pray and plead the case, just as Moses did with God when he brought the people out, delivered them. They murmured and complained. So I plead the case for these goats, that God would have mercy on them, and that Satan would have no victory, even through the goats, and that all that God has done will do, that it has to be powerful enough to provide mercy and compassion and forgiveness for the goats, for they know not what they do. So a priest has to pray and plead for the goats. They might be unsaved people. They might be Christians or believers or non-believers. But if God authority said, I don't want to lose one, not one to the lake of everlasting fire. So Pastor Deborah kicks into the priest role to pray for the goats, so that on this day, oh, they will be told that they didn't follow. But who are they? If they're baby Christians, they're babies. A lot of babies don't follow mom and daddy anyway. You have to look at them as babies. And if they are in darkness and ignorance and have no knowledge of this Father, because they're in the kingdom of darkness, you can't blame them for being blind, deaf, and dumb. The priest has to kick in. And that I learned that from across myself. When I had a powerful, powerful spiritual vision and experience of being in Christ on the cross, learning and feeling the pain of what he went through. Because my old man, my old spirit, my soul had to die. It was evil and wicked. And yet you have to be able to cry out, Father, forgive them. That's the priest, the great high priest, pleading. Father, forgive them, the goats, for they know not what they do. But we were learning back in the Old Testament the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous, those that could hear and couldn't hear, those spiritual things that were desiring to be done to other people. And you did or you didn't. Verse 42. For I, the Son of Man, was spiritually hungry for the agape love of the Heavenly Father and His truth. And you gave me none of His spiritual meat. I was spiritually thirsty for His living water. And you gave me no spiritual water to drink, the eternal life of God Himself. Verse 43. I was a spiritual stranger, an orphan in the family, in the house of the Heavenly Father. I was not yet born again back to Him and through Him. And you took me not into His family. You never told me about His agape love and salvation for me. And you spiritually clothed me, the least of Christ Jesus's spiritual brethren, not. You brought me no clothes. I was spiritually sick in my spiritual body, in my heart and mind, and my soul. And you spiritually did not bring spiritual healing to me in my spiritual prison of spiritual darkness and ignorance to the fear of death. And you did not come to me and free me from this spiritual prison of slavery to sin and its consequences, its sting of spiritual death, separation. For you did not visit me spiritually. Verse 44. Then shall they, these guys who just heard this out of the mouth of the Son of God, the king, they will also answer him, the king, saying, Lord, when did we see you spiritually hungry for food and thirsty for water, or a stranger, and we did not invite you unto our house? Or when were we naked or sick? Or when were you in prison and we didn't minister unto you? One of the great examples of what this looks like is Mother Teresa in India. Each beggar that she picked up, each dying person, each child, she looked in the eyes and saw her Christ. She saw Jesus, and she bathed him. She ministered love to him, to that spirit that was in there. And to that soul. She couldn't stop them dying, But she loved on them. She treated them with dignity and honor. She believed, and she looked at that spirit in there, and she saw her Christ Jesus, and she was ministering unto him in his condition. And go watch her story. Wonderful. How each person she saw Christ Jesus in it, and how she loved him. Verse 45. Then shall he, the Son of Man, the King, answer them, these are the goats, saying, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it, these things, you visited me, you comforted me, you gave me water and food and clothes, you told me I love you, that Christ loves you, spiritually. Not to one of these spiritually least of these, my spiritual brethren, you did it not, these things to me. Every human is, Jesus says, they are my spiritual brethren, for I am the Son of Man like they are. And if you can't spiritually and don't spiritually minister to that hidden spiritual person in there who's trapped in the kingdom of darkness, spiritually sick, spiritutually hungry, spiritually abused, spiritually trapped. If you don't have words of spirit and life, you're not moving in the spirit, you're not moving in the gifts of the spirit, you are not attending to that spirit that Christ says are his spiritual brethren. You're only attending to the soul and the physical body. Pastor Deborah started getting this, started understanding I needed to move in spiritual gifts to be able to see and hear and go into the kingdom of darkness to come and bring water and food and clothes and love to the spirit. I do that. I'm a Mother Teresa to the unborn children. I'll tell you the story of a young child in the womb. She was going to be born 2 months early. I go visit her in the womb. She asked me, is she going to make it out? Is it going to be okay? Yes. She has angels with her. When she comes out through birth, she runs to me spiritually. I'm here, Pastor Deborah. I'm here. Wonderful. Life begins in the womb. The moment the egg and the sperm occur, life is forming the physical body. It's the body is getting ready. The body is getting ready. In comes the spirit. The heart starts beating. Spirit of life is there. Spirit of life is there. Now the mold is shaping. It's being formed based on genes and DNA. That's why some children come out with no arms, no legs, all kinds of deformities. The biological egg and sperm have been perverted and changed by sin and are still of the earthly world. Sin and death are at work. But the physical body is being formed and the spirit is growing, sort of like pouring jello into a mold. It's growing with the physical body. So I actually do ministry with the children in the womb. My story goes, I've been to many wombs, and I know some are going to be aborted. And I go on in at the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I take the spirit out. So when the child is born, they're stillborn. The spirit is already gone. If I know that that's going to be taken in a satanic meeting, cut out of the stomach a wound and be tortured and eaten, I take the spirit. I'm ministering to the little spirit, the least of Christ Jesus' brethren. When I had that open vision and I'm hearing and seeing hands, my heart is breaking. I don't know how to help them at that time. I didn't know what to do but pray. God help them. I would hurt. I cried. Sometimes the vision, I'd be walking to Walmart and it happened. And I would cry in the parking lot. And I would hear it. I could hear the screams, the calling. And I'd pray to God, please send somebody to help him. Please, God, help him, help him. I don't know who they were. I don't know where they were at. They could have been in hell. They could have been alive. I don't know. And all God would say to me is, I'm sending you. I go, sir, I don't know how to go. I don't know where to go. Send somebody else. He says, no. I've picked you. I will teach you and train you, but you will go from me to the least of my brethren. And every time I would cry and pray to him, the vision ended. Then I have to go study and I start seeing the kingdom of darkness at a deeper, deeper spiritual level. And I had to trust God. Sometimes I'd just be sitting in a chair and I'm gone. Sometimes I'll be in a dream and I'm gone or I'm there. The spirit realm is a real place. It's all around us. So let's keep going. Sorry about that. He says, you didn't do these things to these people. Verse 46, and these, the guys who did not have mercy or compassion on, and toward the least of the king's spiritual brethren, you shall go away into everlasting punishment, to the lake of fire. But the righteous who did these things spiritually to others, into life eternal. But like I said, many different reasons why the goats didn't go. I don't want to lose one who he considers a goat. If we lose just one to the lake of fire, Satan wins. And God's victory on the cross and his words of, Father, forgive them all, for they know not what, would not be faithful, would not be true. So the priests must kick in and plead for the goats. Plead their case before him. Daniel 12, 2 through 3. Verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, those human spirits still dead in their sins, shall awake, shall come back to life unto God, the Heavenly Father, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. He's telling me what the laws of the kingdom are. But his heart as a judge, Moses taught us that. You plead with him. You ask him for mercy and compassion, for they know not what they do. His reputation as a merciful God must be upheld. His reputation as a God of love must supersede. That law must supersede this law. But somebody had to pay this price. And that's where Christ Jesus kicked in. And when that was taken care of, God looks at Christ Jesus and said, it's all done, all the law's taken care of. It's all done. Verse 3. And they that be wise, they that be teachers, shall shine as the spiritual brightness of the firmament of heaven. And they that turn many to spiritual righteousness as the stars forever and ever. A teacher shall shine when they do this. Proverbs 4:18 through 19. But the path of the just, the righteous, is as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. Verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness and ignorance. They know not at what they stumble. To be a priest, a teacher, I must know about the kingdom of darkness. I must know about ignorance. I must know the condition of when people stumble. I must know about slavery and torment and corruption and lust. I must be able to go into the courtroom and plead the case. I must be able to talk to a judge. Part of my training to do this, I became a guardian ad litem in Florida and would go into the courtroom of the family judge to learn about the courtroom, pleading the case for the parents and the children. I was the eyes and the ears for the judge. I was ordained, officially authorized, sworn in by the judge to be his eyes and ears, to go places he could not go, and to speak back to him. So you must have courtroom and judge. You must have that anointing with you. Now let's get back to the story. I still see the spiritual vision today and spiritually hear the silent cries of the precious spiritual children, the human spirit in and of the kingdom of darkness, the spiritually least of Jesus' spiritual brethren and my spiritual brethren, my family. They are my family. They are the Father's children. Precious, precious spiritual beings, children, spiritually trapped in flames and darkness, tortured in their spiritual hearts and minds and souls by the fear of death, living yet dead. Spiritual beings, unseen, unheard by their spiritual brethren. No matter where I went, a parking lot, in my car, in my house, at church, I would get the open vision. I would see the hands of the multitudes of spiritual children reaching up for help. And I would hear their silent cries for help, which were so overwhelming. And there were just so many hands, reaching up for help. Each and every time, a demonic claw would pull their hands down and torture them with such horrible torment and pain. My heart was breaking, as was the heart of the Heavenly Father. Early on, when this vision came to me, the Most High God asked me a very important question. How much was the salvation of one multi-generational Satanist worth to me? This is talked about in the story called So Many Hands, Just So Many Hands. So during the early years of this ministry into the kingdom of darkness, the vision's fullness was not fully revealed to me. But as always, through the spiritual leading of the Holy Spirit, I began to research and study a subject I had never really studied before, hell. It is a worthy topic to study. I knew I was going somewhere, and I knew I was going there, and I knew nothing about it. As the Holy Spirit did with me, I would hear of testimonies of people going to hell. One was of an atheist who went to hell upon death and got saved and came back to life. Then a testimony from a Christian who was taken to hell for 23 minutes. I heard his testimony, got his book, and read all about his spiritual experience, and then remembered that even others had been taken to hell and God's light, His voice, intervened. Little did I know what all this studying was for. But studying by the leading of the Holy Spirit, I did. The Heavenly Father was spiritually teaching me and spiritually revealing to me some deep spiritual knowledge I did not have and I would need. The Holy Spirit took me on a journey through the Word of God about hell and the Spirit of God and precious spiritual children who go there. Psalms 139, 7 through 12. Verse 7. Where shall I, King David, who was speaking to the Lord God, go from your spirit? Or where shall I, King David, flee from your spiritual presence? Is there anywhere I can go that you are not there? Good question to ask. Jeremiah 23:23-24. Verse 23. Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God who is far off? Some gods seem to be very far off. You're just to obey them, pray to them, but they never interact with you unless you do some really icky things. Verse 24. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord? People think God doesn't see what they do or hear or think. They think they're hiding just because they don't get caught by the law and go to jail and their deeds are not uncovered. They think God doesn't see. They're not worried. Maybe they'll deal with that later, you know. Get what they can and then repent and think they're all right. I don't think so. Verse 5. The waters compass me about, even to the soul. The depths, deeps close me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Verse 6. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. That sounds like death. Yet you have brought me up, my spiritual life, from corruption, from the pit. Oh, Lord, my God. Oh, God's doing some wonderful stuff here. Verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto you, unto your holy temple. Verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto you with the voice of thanksgiving. When you're in bad times, hopeless and depressed, suicidal, a drug addict, being abused, just give a little thought of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10. And the Lord spoke unto the fish, which represented hell, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So when Jonah went into this fish, it's as if he was in hell himself. And God spoke to the fish and spit Jonah out. The scripture that I've always stood on and believed in fully and came to know the heart of God is 1 Matthew 18:14. It is not the spiritual will, the desire, the purpose of the Heavenly Father, which is in heaven, that even one of these spiritual little ones should not spiritually perish which means be spiritually separated eternally from Him, the Heavenly Father. From having this wonderful and guiding word, these principles and concepts from God Himself about His desires and goals and purposes of wanting to lose not one precious spiritual child to His eternal wrath, His fire and punishment in the lake of fire. I always seek to spiritually fulfill His desires of His heart. When you get deep with the Lord, you will learn His desires. He will change your desires in here to be matching His. And you learn how to become that priest and plead for these little ones who He does not want to lose, not one goat. I always seek to spiritually fulfill His desires of His heart. This is His work that Pastor Deborah and this ministry, Agape Love, Love is Here, is doing for Him, for His glory, to fulfill His heart's desires. So also in this revealing of a very deep spiritual revelation that was slowly coming to light in my spiritual heart, mind, and soul, I had to be reminded of a few basic scriptures that would add to this deep spiritual revelation of hell. God is always taking me to His Word. Also, I can get it through movies and books and true testimonies. He puts them all together, and I'll get it. And if I've been doing my studying all along, reading, praying, sometimes the answers will be right there. But it combines a lot of things together. Especially if you're going to be doing something that's never been taught in the church, you have no idea about, no concepts. Number one, Romans 8, 35 through 39. Verse 35, who shall spiritually separate us from the agape love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Verse 36. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. No, in all these things, in our being killed as sheep for the slaughter, in tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril, or by the sword, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You might kill the body, but you can't kill the spirit. It will return. And Satan did not get the victory of the spiritual. Satan doesn't care about the physical. He'll use it to work on the soul. He'll use the soul trying to capture, hold, trap, and deny the spirit its entry back into the family. Satan wants that spirit in hell and tormented and tortured to punish God. For I, Paul, speaking, verse 38, am persuaded, I'm convinced to the bone, full of faith, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things that are present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the agape love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So agape love of the Heavenly Father is so deep and without measure, it can overcome even death. Creatures, powers, that no one shall be able to be separated from it. Pastor Deborah's knowledge was growing, developing, and maturing for a ministry I knew nothing about yet. Number 2, Psalm 68:20. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues of death. God owned death. God created death. If you go watch a couple of Miles Monroe's videos I have in spiritual teaching about the birth of death, God created death. Death serves him. It belongs. All the issues belong unto God. He created it. Number 3, Matthew 19:25-26, verse 25. When his, Jesus' disciples, heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible what I just said. But with God, all things are possible. So I was told that God is in the business of all things being possible. For all things are possible with him. And since I also had just learned that death is owned by and must answer to God himself, I was beginning. Foundation stones were being laid that had never been taught. But he also used Miles Monroe. That's why you'll see a lot on the website. Many different ministries and testimonies and teachings. They were all used to help Pastor Deborah. They were all coming together. Number 4, Romans 9:25-26. Verse 25. As he said also, O see, I will call them my people, which are not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. I was learning about God's prophetic visions and his words and his declaration. I'm going to call something that is not something that is. Even though they're not my people right now, I'm going to call them my people. Even though they're not my children, they're in the kingdom of darkness. They're separated from me. I'm going to call them. They are my children. They are to be my beloved. Hosea 2:23. And I, the Lord God of heaven, will so bring her, all my people, Israel, my reborn again prince, my firstborn. I will treat her it like a her. It's strange, but this is God. Unto me in the earth. And I, the Lord God of heaven, will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I, the Lord God of heaven, will say to them, which were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. How many people right now on planet Earth? God is saying, you are mine. You're my children, my people. But they are saying, we're not your God. You're not our God. But he is saying, I am prophesying. You will say to me one day, you are my God. All the other gods of this earth will fade away, and there will only be one. God was teaching me and training me through his word, through scriptures. I follow out the scripture references one to the next to the next. He's leading me and guiding me. for a ministry that was yet to come. But it was deep spiritual revelations. Verse 26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. In the realm of the Spirit, there is a place where God stands on a high rock in a high mountain, and Christ Jesus calls out, you are my children. Those who were not my children, come. I will not lose one of you. Come. You are children of the living God. Come. Come. His voice is proclaimed through all the spirit realm. I was spiritually learning more and more about agape love and the God of heaven and his deep spiritual desires of wanting to save even those who had not obtained mercy and are not his people. I was receiving new wine of new truth, new knowledge, and the deepness of the Heavenly Father's agape love for all humanity throughout all of eternity. Number 5, Romans 10, 8 through 5, verse 8. But what says it? The word is near you, even in your mouth, and in your spiritual heart and mind. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9. That if you shall confess with your mouth. Now, that statement, a lot of people believe it's this earthly mouth. But sometimes it is, if they can. But most of the time when Pastor Deborah ministers in the Spirit, I'm dealing with the spiritual mouth. Did you know when people get their tongues pierced, they get a demonic spirit that will keep their spiritual mouth from confessing this? When they get a nose ring, what it does, they get a demonic spirit that keeps them from smelling the fragrance of love and God's presence. When they get a lot of ear piercings on their ears, the same thing. They get demonic spirit so they cannot hear the voice of God. A lot of times I'm able to spiritually see what's going on when they wear black fingernail polish, black lipstick. It's talking to me. Now, I wear a lot of black because on the cameras, it absorbs the light and it looks better, especially when you got gray hair. Looks great. So what happens is I'm looking spiritually, and I didn't know what the spiritual person looked like who I was going to be ministering to. So I asked God to show me pictures. So he would take me, and one of the books I used was heavy metal music. They showed me pictures, I think it was of Slipknot. And they showed me they wore a mask, and he says, that's what the spirit looks like. And I had to learn to look at grotesque pictures and perversions and all kinds of stuff. And I'd have to read about what was happening on the inside of the temple, where there was all kinds of creatures. And when somebody does get tattooed, it goes into the physical body, we know that. But it goes into the soul, and it goes into the spirit. And what God, when he sees it, and he looks inside the spirit, he sees these creatures on the inside of the spirit. If you study, I think it's in Ezekiel, when he is taken spiritually into the temple of Jerusalem, and he peers through the wall and he sees the creatures painted on the wall. That's what tattooing does to the spirit. And he starts moving through it, and he sees women praying down to Tammuz, which goes back into the ancient days. And the men are in there turning to the east, to the sun rising, they're worshiping another god. So there was idol worship going on in the spirit. There was idols that were there. There was creatures and stuff in the temple, which is the spirit of man. And so I had to learn how to see that spiritually and know that when I'm dealing with this, working with these children, there were other kings and gods sitting on the spiritual throne, on this heart and the mind of the spirit. I have some great stories about that, about Candy. But let's get back to this one. And it says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in your spiritual heart, your mind, that God has raised him, Christ Jesus, from the dead, you shall be saved. So the mouth is very important, speaking. But some people are paralyzed. If they're in a coma, they cannot, with their verbal mouth. If you have other people, they cannot talk. Satan will not let their spiritual mouth talk or their soul. This one time with Candy, she was in my house sitting at my kitchen table. It's a powerful place of ministry, by the way. And there was a lady inside of her, another spirit, which I had to learn that spirits move inside of bodies. Okay. And she was a great high priestess here in Pensacola. And she wanted to get saved. She was inside of Candy, but she couldn't talk. So I had to learn how to lead them in this prayer. And so I said, just take my hand. Put your hand. Do whatever you can do. Put your hand in my hand, and I'll do the rest. And I did the confessing. The next day in the newspaper, they found this young girl who had all kinds of tattoos. She was dead. She was killed. She either knew that was going to happen, or it happened because she got saved, but she couldn't talk. So all she could do was put her hand and come into agreement. Sometimes all I get is a head nod. Sometimes I get a moan. With little babies in the womb, I get an eye. I just look at their eyes. So I had to learn how to do nonverbal confessions, how to take moans and groans. I had to learn. And I had to have the spiritual experiences to learn how to do that. So he says that you'll be saved. Saved from what? From death. From hell. The physical body is going to die. It'll get changed later, which we learn that in the story when Jesus Christ gets resurrected. But he first gets the spirit. It dies. It died on the cross. He applies the blood to the spirit. Holy Spirit changes it. It's born again. It's a baby. The soul then has to die also. It has to give up. And what it is, it's a mess. It's nasty. And it has to be willingly to go on the cross also and die and then be reshaped, reformed, renewed back to what it was originally meant to be, a helpmate. And eventually the physical body will be changed back to, back to its immortal beginnings. And this mortal will be gone. And we will be back in the condition we were in the garden before the fall. And then we'll pick up with the story of what we were supposed to do in all of the realm. Verse 10, for with a spiritual heart and mind, man believes unto righteousness, unto right standing with God, and with the spiritual mouth confesses, is made unto salvation. I had to learn how to spiritually hear whispers. When I hear a heart cry like open vision, they are already asking for help. It doesn't take much. The spirits are ready. But as we learn, God needs laborers to go into the kingdom of darkness, be special operations, soldiers, ministers, spiritually, to go undercover with the Holy Spirit and angels, take care of business. And Pastor Deborah's been doing that most of her life. Verse 11, for the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. All. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sometimes they just say the word God, and he already knows because their hearts are looking for somebody besides the other gods they have been worshiping, praying to, and nothing has happened. Verse 14, I'm going to tell you a secret. Those people who are trying to get to paradise, they have respect and honor and blessings. They are the most violent to get there. They are trying to be obedient to get some goods, be blessed. They just don't know the way, and you're going to learn that. Verse 14, for how then shall they call on him and whom they've not heard? If the Spirit doesn't know about this Jesus, this loving Heavenly Father, if nobody's come to them, how shall they believe in him if they've not heard about him? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, we got to go spiritually. A lot is done in the natural, but not in the spiritual. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news, the gospel of peace, between God and all of humanity, and bring glad tidings of good things. Are you doing that? I am. You're here because I've been sent to you. You have come because you felt the call. You felt this drawing to something. Because the Spirit wants peace with this God. May not know who it is, where to find it, how to get there. But the Spirit deep inside has eternity in it. Has a deep recessed memory that it's supposed to be connected to a God, be communicating with it, worshiping it, praying to it, honoring it, respecting it, obeying it. It knows that. But it doesn't know which one, how to get there, and then it has to believe. I had to spiritually be revealed a very deep spiritual truth that was not taught in church and seemed unreal and impossible. Number 6, 1 Peter 3, 18 through 20. Verse 18, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might spiritually bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. You got the Father involved, you got God involved, Jesus involved in the Spirit. They're all one, but they're three different components, facets. It's a strange thing. Don't try to figure it out till you do a lot of studying. Just fall in love with Christ Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. The Father will draw you to Christ Jesus. Listen to him. Look at his sacrifice he did. Believe on him. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. Then you're back with the Father. They do all the work. You just have to allow yourself to be drawn and believe. And he'll even help you with the believing. Verse 19, by which also he went upon this spiritual and physical death, and he preached unto the spirits in prison. When he died, he went into hell. That was the punishment that was the law required of this spirit who had all this sin. You must go to hell, into prison, and be tormented. Verse 20, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing the people of earth before the great flood, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. I learned that Christ Jesus went into hell. It's where the spirits were kept. If you do some deep studying, it's wonderful. So I saw that Christ, the spirit man inside of the dirt body, Jesus, his dirt body didn't go to hell. It lost the spirit that was in it. It died. It was in the tomb. But his spirit part, the man part, went to hell. And there he preached the good news of himself to all those who had never heard about him and who were the ones of disobedience and rebellion to God's word from the ancient days of Noah and before, all the way back to Adam and woman and Cain. A time when all flesh had corrupted itself on the earth and were only wicked in their imaginations continually and had become great in wickedness in the eyes of God, their Creator. Things were becoming clearer and clearer to me spiritually. Christ went into hell, yes. He preached about his own salvation to help them. Who was down there? Adam, all the way, everybody. Because they had not yet got changed, had not been born again, could not ascend up into the throne room. They were still, what I think the Catholics call it, purgatory, a waiting time. They were still there, being locked up, tormented, separated from God, because the sacrifice had not yet come. Number 7, Matthew 16, 18 through 19. Jesus was speaking to Peter, and I say unto you that you are Peter. It means little pebble. And upon this rock, this spiritual revelation, that I am Christ, the Son of the living God, that my Father gave to you, upon that spiritual revelation, that solid rock, that foundation, I will spiritually build my church, the of ecclesia, my group of people that will carry out my mission on earth. And the gates, the authority of hell, shall not prevail against it, against that revelation. The spiritual revelation that I, Jesus, am Christ. Verse 19, and I, the Christ, the Son of the living God, will give unto you, Pastor Deborah, those who get this spiritual revelation as you did from my father, Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you the authority and the dominion to heaven. And whatsoever you, those who receive this spiritual revelation from my Father, shall bind, forbid, tie up, not forgive. You shall bind up and you shall forbid on earth. And these things you forbid will be bound in heaven. They will not be loosed on earth. They will not be given from heaven, nor not enforced from heaven. So I could literally stop blessings from flowing. I could also bind up demons from doing their things. I could be a good person or a bad person to other humans, depending on what I bind up. And whatsoever you shall loose, set free, unbind, forgive, on earth shall be loosed and freed and enforced, given in heaven. I had been given powerful authority to free people or keep them in slavery, to forgive them or not to forgive them, to keep them tied up and not free them. But the other thing was I learned that even the gates, the powerful entrances into hell, shall not prevail against me. I could come against it with this authority of the kingdom of heaven, and the gates must open. And whatever I bound would bind up and bow down to me, just as the Joseph was showing us how his family would bow. So once again, I was spiritually revealed that even the gates, The authority of hell, the entrance, cannot stand against the spiritual revelation I'd been given that Christ is the Son of the living God. Even hell could not stand, means couldn't keep its doors locked and closed against this powerful spiritual revelation. Number 8, Philippians 2, 9 through 11, verse 9. Wherefore God spiritually also has highly exalted him, Jesus Christ, and gave him a name, a nature, an essence, a character and power, authority and dominion, which is above every name. Even the name and the nature and the power, the authority and dominion of hell and death. Verse 10, so that at the name, the nature, the authority, the dominion, and the power of Christ Jesus, having that spiritual revelation that he is the Son of the living God, every knee should bow, means every devil, even every demon of hell, even the gates of hell, even hell itself, with all of its fires and flames and torment, its suffering and punishment of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Hell itself will bow its knee to those who have that spiritual revelation that Christ is the Son of the living God. I was growing for sure. This was getting more powerful. I don't know what I was going to do with it, but I'm learning. I'm growing. Getting excited here. Verse 11, and that every tongue, even those in hell, should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What is going on here? Even the tongues in hell? I'm starting to pick up on some things. Hell's going to bow to me. The fires, the torment's going to bow to me. There'll be tongues. There'll be people that will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and the Son of the living God. Even there. Whew, but this I had to have if I was going to be sent to those people in the open vision. This is powerful, powerful, deep stuff I had to learn about the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of heaven, about Christ Jesus, what I could bind, couldn't bind, the power and authority I had. Now I was growing in more spiritual understanding of the power of the name and nature and authority and dominion of the Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, even in hell, so that the Heavenly Father would and could be glorified. See, I'm after God's glorification, getting his desires done, that he not lose one. I'm getting the picture now. I'm going to be going to hell, and I'm going to use the authority of the keys of the kingdom of heaven against the gates of hell. And I'm going to get it so I can get every tongue will confess. So God is glorified even from there. Oh my gosh, this wasn't taught in any Bible college I went to. My spiritual understanding was being increased into an unknown area of faith and belief beyond what I had ever heard of from church, from any book I read, for my being a pastor and being ordained. The Heavenly Father was at work spiritually, renewing my spiritual heart and mind to all the potential and possibilities that I, as a son of God, a bearer of this good news of peace, having this revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that God the Most High, even in hell, had, and even over death itself, that there was nothing that could separate God and humanity from being together. Number 9, Revelation 1:18, verse 18. The risen and glorified Christ, speaking to John in a vision, I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Okay, we're getting it now. Now I had the spiritual revelation that Christ, and through his name, his nature, his authority, his dominion, his power, even had the very keys, the authority and dominion of hell and of death. Christ had the authority, the dominion, the power to go into hell and to override even spiritual death. And I would learn even physical death. To glorify God, to lose not one. This powerful spiritual revelation was growing stronger and deeper in my spiritual mind and heart. I was spiritually increasing in spiritual truth and in knowledge and in faith, and was growing stronger and stronger, believing deeper and deeper possibilities. Yet I still had to have more spiritual revelations to spiritually accomplish what I was going to be spiritually directed to do and to accomplish for the complete glory of the Heavenly Father. Number 10, Philippians 4:13. This is Paul speaking. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's talking to my spirit, can do all things through Christ, the Son of the living God, who can spiritually strengthen me. I can believe and do all things. I was growing in truth and knowledge, but yet there was still more. Number 11, 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 2:4. And my, Paul speaking, speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. A lot of debaters and apologetics and intellectual people, that's where they are. I guess it's okay. But in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power. That's where Pastor Deborah stays. Now I saw that what I was to do soon was to be a great demonstration of God's power, thus moving by and in and through the kingdom of God. I was going to be reaching those hands in that vision. Now I was ready. I knew the Heavenly Father's desires of his heart for all of humanity, so that he would not even lose one spiritually, and they would not perish from him through spiritual death and separation. Number one, I now had the spiritual truth that there was nowhere, not even hell itself, that the Heavenly Father's Holy Spirit and agape love was not there. Two, hell is not spiritually hidden, unseen from God the Most High. Number three, that the spiritual cries of those in hell are heard by the Heavenly Father. I heard them. His ears are not deaf to their cries. Number four, that if the Lord speaks to hell, it must release its spiritual prisoners. Number five, that there is no place that can spiritually separate anyone from the agape love of God himself. Number six, that even the issues of death, spiritual separation, which God the Most High created himself, belongs to God. Number seven, that there is nothing impossible with God to spiritually accomplish. His words of spirit and life to spiritually uphold. his son's words from the cross of, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," and to give every darkened spiritual heart and mind an opportunity to spiritually hear his Father's words of agape love for them, and to receive his gift of agape love himself, and to be saved and forgiven. Number 8, that he, the Heavenly Father, will spiritually call, decree, declare those who are not his people to be his people. He's already done that. And those who had not received his mercy and forgiveness of sins, he would give them mercy. The good news of salvation, love, joy, and peace, and righteousness, and that they can be saved from his wrath, and that he would have to send a preacher to them so they can hear these glad tidings. Pastor Deborah was going on trips. Little did I know what it would look like, but I was going, and I was getting ready. Number 9, that he, Christ, went to hell itself spiritually and preached to the spiritual men of prison from before the great flood, so that they too would be given an opportunity to hear and see him and to confess his name. Remember, they were told back in Genesis, a seed is coming that'll kick your butt, Satan. And the woman that you just used, I'll use her. They heard, they knew, but they had never seen nor met nor heard. So when he went down there as his punishment, guess what? He took care of business. Number 10, that even the gates of hell could not stand against this name, this nature, authority, and dominion of Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, and that he had given me the keys to hell itself, that I too had the spiritual power and dominion and authority to go into hell itself and preach to those who had descended into its great darkness and anguish. Number 11, that even all the demons of and in hell had to bow their knees to the name, the representative, me, Pastor Deborah, of Christ, the Son of the living God. For I had received and obtained this spiritual revelation that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, just as Peter did. And hell itself would have to obey me. For I believed in him. I was one with him. I was in him. He was in me. It was as if Christ Jesus himself had gone back into hell. That was the power of the intimate relationship I was developing and the authority I would have as a son of God myself. And that hell itself would have to obey me and my authority and dominion. Number 12, that all this power, this dominion and authority given to me as a son of God, as a Christ, the Son of the living God, anointed by the Holy Spirit, full of the kingdom of God, full of this power, full of the authority, and I had the keys to the door itself, was to spiritually bring great glory to God, the Heavenly Father. Number 13, that I had to spiritually believe that all things, I mean all things, just going into hell and preaching and stuff, that was an all thing. I had to believe that all things are possible through Christ to glorify the Father, the King of the kingdom of heaven. 14, that I was to spiritually demonstrate the kingdom of God in power and by the Holy Spirit. Where? In hell. I had never heard this before, but I was stepping out on a little sliver of faith, and I was taking this in because I didn't want to see anyone lost to him. I wanted to reach those people that had the hands reaching up in the open vision. Now, finally to the story. 72 virgins. I've always paid attention to the news and what the Lord Jesus and his Father were doing in the world. I had learned that in the Muslim community, they were moving in dreams and visions, and many, many Muslims, those of the Islamic faith, were being spiritually contacted, spiritually, by Jesus himself, and were being saved and born again and becoming alive unto God, the Heavenly Father. He wasn't losing them. Through their belief in Jesus as the Son of God, God was at work to spiritually not lose even one of these precious spiritual ones to eternal death, to eternal separation from him and his agape love. I also watched and listened to the news on TV. And on April 15th, 2013, I saw, as all the world did, the Boston bombers at the Boston Marathon. I watched as the manhunt went on, and finally one of the two brothers died, and the other one was captured. The Sanara brothers, the younger ones, survived and told the authorities that they were self-radicalized by extreme Islamic beliefs and that the vexation of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan had played heavily into this. The younger one was now in federal custody and would be charged and probably get the death sentence. Well, one day, soon after these events had occurred, as I was outside just minding my own business and watering the garden, when all of a sudden, in the spirit, the younger brother who had lived came to me and asked me if his brother, Tamerlan, was in paradise. I said, "No, sweetie, he was not. But he could be. I knew he was in hell, for he had not accepted the free gift of Jesus Christ and was spiritually being punished in hell. But I said that he could get to paradise." What was I saying to a precious, darkened spiritual heart and mind? Where did that come from? All the studying. So at the spiritual leading of the Holy Spirit, I said to the younger brother, "You stay in my light, and we will go into hell, and we'll go talk to your brother." I went to hell myself, and I took him with me. As we entered at the gate of hell, I just waved my hand, and the gates opened for us. Ooh, that sounds like scripture. I was a bright light, and the younger brother was surrounded by my light and its presence. He was safe. And it was the first trip to hell for me, and the demons were shocked. I said, "Bow," and they did. Then my eyes could see the flames and the vastness of the territory of hell itself. Now the Holy Spirit brought to my spiritual remembrance something Joshua had asked to be done during a battle so he could win. Joshua 10:12-14. Verse 12. Then spoke Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Son, stand you still upon Gibeon. And you moon in the valley of Ajalon." Verse 13. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this the day of ordering the sun and the moon to obey the voice of a man on earth? Is this not in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted, hurried not, moved not to go down about a whole day. Oh, got to study some of these things. Verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it. And the Lord hearkened, he listened to, and he obeyed, and did as was asked. Partnership for sure. Unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. A partnership you get with this heavenly Father. You're going to go do the Father's business somewhere. You need some help. You cry out to him. He does the work. You do the fighting. It's interesting, wonderful relationship to study. So I prayed to the Lord to stop the flames of fire and torment in hell. For I had learned hell had to obey me as the Son of the living God. Then I asked that the angels from heaven be sent down and spiritually minister to all those in hell as they had ministered to Christ Jesus in the wilderness after all of his temptations from Satan, and bring the heavenly Father's living water and balms of Gilead. And they came. Then a highway of holiness was seen far above hell, and its heavenly light was shining out from it. Then I asked for the Lord to magnify the sound of my words so all in hell could hear me. Here comes the preacher. And to give me the words of agape love, and to offer his gift of salvation and life and peace and love in the Holy Spirit to all there, to preach the good tidings of agape love, the cross, the gift of life and freedom from hell, death, and the grave. And he did. I was doing his work. He prepared me to be sent. He organized it. He sent the young Saniah brother. I was ready and believed all things were possible. I had Bible stories that I could rely on. Instantaneously, stuff was happening. And then I and the younger Saniah brother, who was under my spiritual covering, were led to his brother, Tamerlan. And I began to speak words of agape love about the gift of life. As I spoke these words, gifts of light were descending down from the highway of holiness as stars of light to all there. For all could hear my words. I was speaking to Tamerlan. Words of agape love and life were spoken of. A gift of life from a son he did not know, but that he died and came to this place so he wouldn't have to. And he wanted to free him of this. And he wanted him to be free. Tamerlan had trouble because of the strong belief in Allah as God, and that he was supposed to get 72 virgins for what he had done in Boston. He asked me if he was going to get his 72 virgins in paradise. I said, no, honey. He wasn't, but that he was going to become a virgin himself. After a few minutes of talking, Tamerlan accepted the gift of life and salvation, and off he went. And I and his brother went to the highway of holiness with him. I told his younger brother that he could accompany his brother to heaven, and to see if all this was real, and that his brother had safely arrived in the new place called heaven, and to meet this guy called the Heavenly Father and his son, Christ Jesus. The younger Saniah brother was told that even though he would be in prison for the rest of his earthly life, that he could be a great witness for this Heavenly Father if he too believed in him. And his gift of life of agape love in the Spirit, and reach out to other ones such as he and his brother, and do a great ministry. So off they went, escorted by heavenly angels, so they wouldn't be afraid, for they were traveling on a highway they knew nothing of, or where it was leading to. But off they went, and all those in hell also went. Then after just a few short minutes, the younger Sanaya brother returned and said to me, "For I had spiritually returned out of hell and was back watering my yard." "This is real, isn't it?" he said to me. I said, "Yes, sweetie, it is. Now go and tell others what you have seen and what you have heard and what you know to be the truth." The Heavenly Father was going to use this spiritual experience of going to hell, preaching the words of agape love and life, even to those in hell itself, for his glory and great victory of the cross. Now, the vision I had been given many, many years ago had come into its fullness. I was to go to hell itself and set spiritual captives free from its prison of death. To this day, I still make spiritual trips to hell and preach the good news, the good tidings of the cross, the giver of life, the freedom it offers, and all accept the gift of Christ Jesus and are then taken up to the very throne room of God himself on the highway of holiness and presented to his majesty as treasures out of the darkness, his spiritual inheritance, his spoils from the victory of his son's death and resurrection. His heart is always so happy, and he is overjoyed with agape love for them. I usually leave them so they can get to know each other, for they just barely met, and they had a lot of catching up to do with each other's. Sometimes I am called forward and spoken to, and blessed and even given more anointing for other spiritual work I am to do for His Majesty and His Kingdom of Heaven. Each and every trip to hell is always at the leading the initiation of the Holy Spirit. For these trips are for His heart's desires, for those who are there to receive are His heart's desires, and for those who are there and are receiving their just punishment for their deeds of darkness, of ignorance, or for their unbelief in Christ Jesus. But He always sends me back and always gets what he wants. Spiritual children who were lost, dead and separated to him, because his heart just couldn't let them die there. He had to come back for them. For his agape love could not stop loving them, no matter what, no matter what they did, even in their unbelief. His agape love still loved them. And agape love could never give up reaching out to all with his hands of mercy and forgiveness. For agape love was always desiring to save all. Each and every time hell is emptied, but refills up and I am sent again. Usually 99.9% of those in hell readily and quickly receive his gift of life and freedom by believing in their spiritual hearts and minds that he sent Christ Jesus to hell for their sakes, and he wants them in his family. But there are a few who just cannot accept the good tidings, the truth, They usually are the Islamic imams who had studied and 100% believed that they were serving the one true God, Allah, and that this Jesus guy was not the Son of God, and his father were not God in any way. A few times I have prayed and asked God, the Most High, to spiritually even bring Muhammad to hell, for he had gotten saved on one of my early trips to hell, to speak to these imams so he himself can tell them that he was wrong and that Allah is not God of paradise, and all that they had done for him was a lie and not true. Usually this works, but sometimes I have to personally take one of these reluctant ones to heaven and to the throne room of God himself and have them meet him and talk to him. And that usually does the job, and the Heavenly Father has one more spiritual child out of the darkness, out of hell's prison, and one more spiritual child in his ever-increasing and growing family of sons, of children, of offspring. And his spiritual inheritance is growing more glorious and full of precious ones, for he is accomplishing his desires of his heart, having a spiritual family of children made in his image and after his likeness that will be with him for all of eternity. Excuse me, he would overcome even spiritual death itself and all of its punishment. Agape love would rule and reign even in hell, even in death, even for all those who had not received his mercy, his forgiveness, and righteousness. Agape love was the eternal victor and would not lose even one precious one to death. So even now the trips to hell continue to preach the good tidings of agape love of a father and his son, for all to hear and believe and be saved, and all become a virgin unto the Most High God. I went into the kingdom of darkness, into great ignorance, into hell, the holding place, the prison of ignorance itself, and I still go. No, you're not in hell right now, you're in the garden. No, unless you'll, it's a very scary place to go into. It's like being a trained special operations military soldier, highly trained, educated, full of faith and belief in what I'm trained to do. Some of you don't believe it? Okay. The next time I go, you ask the Heavenly Father if you can go, even if you're in your dreams or wherever. God will stop time for you, and you will travel with me in my light. And to get at what it sort of looks like, if you watch the movie, the video, The Voice in the Light. Yes, it is possible to go there. Christ went there. I have the keys to hell, death, and the grave. I have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I go there many times, only when I'm led by the Holy Spirit, to accomplish great purposes. It's a big place, lots of caverns and fires and demons, and just pain and torture and just horrible. It's like a maximum place. Different layers, but yes, I do go. What? You don't want to go there ever? Okay. But you don't believe in him yet? Oh, that's all right. You want to believe in him now so you don't go there? Well, okay, let's pray. Father, all those that heard the story and don't want to go to hell, and they want to skip that sort of on the journey here. Father, they say they believe in you. You know their heart. Father, even some of their family that are at home. Make a way for them. Apply the blood of the cross of the Lamb from your Holy Spirit. They believe that your Son, Christ Jesus, was sent and went to the cross and went to hell. Father, help them so they don't go there. And if they ask you, Father, for any of their relatives or their family members or their friends that they know do not believe in you, Pastor Deborah's willing to go to preach the good news of your peace and of your agape love to them. Give them assurance and blessings that they will know that their loved ones will not suffer in hell. Pastor Deborah will go as you send me. Father, accept these children. Put on the robe of righteousness. No longer orphans. Feed them with your milk and your bread and your wine. They're home. Embrace them as the treasures out of darkness, Father. Your cross paid a high price for them. Your love can be satisfied for more are coming home. Run to them, Father, and embrace them as you did the prodigal. They're not your servants, they're your children that you have loved since you created them and you had a desire for them. Let them know of your love. Pour out your love, Father. Touch them. Let them feel your tangible spiritual presence as you minister to them now. Set them free in their spirit from all the kings and of darkness and ignorance. Begin a mighty work. Only you can do. They are yours. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. Father, as we close out this episode, I think it's number 6, do your work in their lives. You can stay here until you're ready to go home. And then angels will take you. Father, minister to them. Teach them and let them love on you. In the name of Jesus. All right. I will see all of you again in part number 7. The kingdom of darkness will pick back up. Where we left off, we were talking about the cries of the heart. We got a lot to get into, but this has been a long one. So enjoy. Love everybody with the love that's so powerful that death cannot even stop it. There's no cell you can be in. There's no place it cannot reach you. Not one. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'll see you guys next time. Bye. Love always and forever, Pastor Deborah.
Thank you for listening and watching this video. It is an honor and a pleasure to have you stopped by today and watch. This is Pastor Deborah, and I hope you come again and watch many, many more videos and learn and grow spiritually and hear how she has helped people spiritually the Lord's way for many, many years. Come again, watch another one, and we welcome you to be a subscriber to the channel, to make comments, and if you wish to contact Pastor Deborah, please email her at her email address for the ministry. @PastorDeborah@agapelovehere.org. You can also see these videos on Twitter and on the website in the many different sections that they are put into. Enjoy, and it was once again an honor to have you watch and listen. Thank you, and come again to another video of Agape Love, Love is Here Ministries, a ministry of helping people the Lord's way that Pastor Deborah has been doing for many, many years. Love always and forever, Pastor Deborah.